Father in heaven, I pray that you would touch our hearts today by the power of your word through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to give an explanation as I read this passage of Scripture because I think, again, it needs to be said. And that is, when Jesus is talking in this passage that I'm going to read about keeping my commands, there are those who misunderstand that and believe that somehow he's saying we must keep the law. And that's not at all what he's saying. He's simply saying, live by Scripture. Live the Christ life. Live as I have lived and demonstrated. Live according to my words. Don't substitute Old Testament law for this. If you do, you'll find yourself in a trap spiritually that will only lead to your disillusionment. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we, like those who are not believers, are unable to keep the law. The law was given, Galatians 3, to bring us to repentance. The law was given to set this perfect eternal standard, if you will, that no one can ever live up to. It's perfect. And it brings us to repentance. John 14, beginning with verse 15, says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my word or listens to my word and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Today we're going to be talking about assurance, and the purpose for that, if you will, today, in our series, A Journey Up to Palm Sunday and to Easter Sunday, is that I don't know that you and I are free to really serve and love God with all that we have and all that we are if we're always wondering about God's promises. I just don't know how we do that. And so today we're talking about assurance. How do we have assurance? You know, we're living in a very insecure world. Is that a true statement? You know, I read where, and I don't understand this. You can help me with this, I'm sure. But I read where 1 in 6 in our state, 1 in 7 kids in our state are living in what we call food insecurity. And yet obesity among children is out of control. Those two don't seem to go hand in hand with me, except that we're not training our children to eat properly, if you will. But there's all kinds of insecurity in our world. I deal with people, you deal with people every day, probably every day, know it or not know it, that have great abandonment issues. They're scared to death because when they were small, somehow they interpreted mom and dad's messages as being those of abandonment. There are simple ways we communicate that to our children that are terrible. One is, if, as an adult parent, if I'm in the mall at the toy store and I can't get little Johnny to go with me because I've said, okay, we're leaving in 5 minutes, which does not connect with little Johnny, or you follow me on that? The ultimate way to manipulate little Johnny is just to walk off. Because little Johnny, as a small child, will scream bloody murder and come chasing you out into the mall. And there's a great bad message that goes with that. It's a really good bad message. And so we have to be aware that many people around us are scared to death for abandonment issues. And this is not new. Because at this point in the lives of the disciples, Jesus is easing them into a direct understanding that he's going away. Now, you can imagine, as you might, what that would do to these guys. Here are 12 people who have followed Jesus. 11 of the 12 are certainly on board. There's a lot of conversation about Judas and where he was in all of this and when he betrayed the Lord and how he, you know, there's way too much for me to process. But they've given up everything. Jesus had talked to them about denying mom and dad, follow me. They'd given up careers. We talked earlier, Ed did, about Jeremiah, and he would be embarrassed for me to say, Jeremiah might be embarrassed for me to say this, but I looked on Facebook and saw them selling her jewelry to raise money. I bought a camera he had on there so could give it back to him. And if anyone's going to Costa Rica anytime soon, take that camera with you, please. But the disciples had done very similarly. And so all of a sudden, this person that they think, somehow, I'm guessing a bit, they think that he's going to usher in some kind of kingdom that might be an overthrow of Roman rule. It certainly, if the kingdom of God came, if you will, that would imply what? Rome no longer has charge. The two would not fit together. And so all of a sudden they're going, what do you mean you're going away? So Jesus offers them promises for assurance. Assurance, first of all, is partly based on our obedience, because he says here in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey me. Now, there's a certain sense in which we see that in a parental way anyway, right? Children typically want the approval of their parents, and they gain that approval by doing what they're told to do. In fact, they normalize that. They think that's exactly how life is. And so Jesus is saying, if you truly are my disciple, you will listen to what I say. And he goes on in 1 John 5, he says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his word or living out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. Again, understand, commands is not talking about the law. His commands are not burdensome. 2 John 1 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his commands are that you walk in love. Now, having said that, what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, so forth, so on. See, what happens is, and I don't mean to be, please hear me as trying to be nurturing and supportive. The primary function of the Holy Spirit is to help us, to usher us into a life that resembles the very life of Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives is not for our own entertainment. It's so that we become Jesus in the world. It's so that our character, our behavior, all about us is changed and is being conformed into that very image of God that we possessed in the fall. That image is being renewed by the presence of God in our hearts now, you see. Having said that, secondly, assurance is based upon this is so cool. I am so excited about assurance. They're based upon the promises of God himself, the promises of Christ. Now think about this for a second. Back in the original covenant that God made with Abraham, we've talked a little bit about this, Abraham sort of becomes in a trance, if you remember that section in Genesis 12 through 15, and there's an animal sacrifice offered. And the history behind that would be that two people would participate in that covenant. If I was making a covenant with Don, you and I would participate. You would have a share and I would have a share. Well, in this covenant, it's only God who participates. And the basic line that comes out of the covenant with Abraham is, I am your God, and I will honor this covenant until I, God, die. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? So Jesus is reaffirming his promises. That's pretty strong. So when you and I begin to think negatively about things and think hurtful things about ourselves and about others, draw from God's promises to us. They are life-changing to understand how complete his love is for us. I, God, will love you until I, God, die. That's amazing, is it not? Well, look at this. John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father," and verse 37 of John 6, "however, those who the Father have given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." John 6:47 says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." Now, let me just say this very carefully. It doesn't say he who believes and is faithful to the end and holds on the ski rope and does X number of good works. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, do you believe or not? How powerful is that? Our salvation is based upon the promises of God to us. Read that with me out loud. You have the outline, I believe, or it's up on the screen. Together. "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." Wow. Now, what does that do for you and me? What does it do for me? It, first of all, creates in me a sense of obligation and honor. For God so loved the world reaches into my spirit to the point that I say to God, "Lord, I belong to you. You've given your life to me. Now my life is yours." You see, I have most of the time, a passion to obey God and to serve God. Now, I'm probably the most human pastor you've had in a long time. I am really in touch with my shortcomings. I know on a good day I can come across as a self-righteous, arrogant know-it-all. That's on a good day. Can you imagine what a bad day looks like? I am so flawed. I thought about telling you a story, and then I thought about not telling you a story, and I'm back and forth on it. How many vote yes? Oh, gosh. 2 weeks ago, like many of you, I've been suffering with the crud, which is a highly evolved medical term. It's in the book, right? It's called crud. And I was taking a dose pack of prednisone. Now, prednisone, for my wife, wires her up, makes her crazy. And you can quote me on that, and she would agree. With me, I just get kind of agitated. Well, I didn't have a dose pack. I had a bottle of prednisone. I got up two Sundays ago and didn't have my contact in. I reached in the drawer, grabbed the bottle, took three pills, it was the day for three, put my contact in, looked at the bottle, and realized I'd taken three very powerful codeine pills. I came to church like, whoa! And I was mellow. I ran it by Michael Glover, and he said, "Are you having any trouble breathing?" And he said, "If you go down, we'll do CPR. And I said, "Don't you put your lips on me, brother." Oh, my soul. And so several people came up to me afterwards and said, "What a wonderful sermon that was. You seem so relaxed." I went straight home, got a Sharpie, and circled the word codeine. So without a contact, I know that's got a red line around it. I am just human. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Assurance is based upon the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. John 14 says, "And he will give you a counselor, another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he does not see him, nor does he know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be," what? "In you." 1 Corinthians teaches us that we are the temple of God. That the very presence of God, the Spirit, lives in us. Wow. Now here's a Romans passage. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God or sons and daughters of God." Let me read the whole passage here in Romans 8. It's not in your outline. I'm going to write this down. It says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature," Romans 8:13, "you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship and daughtership, I might add. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Can you imagine that change, how big that is? You didn't walk up to the temple in the Old Testament or to the tabernacle and go, Abba, Father. You didn't do that. Matter of fact, you know, on the Day of Atonement, what they did in the temple. You know the story. They had the high priest had a robe on, and on the hem of his robe were bells. And he had a rope tied around one ankle. And if he walked into the Holy of Holies with sin in his heart and approached that mercy seat in an inappropriate way, he would die right on the spot. And they knew to haul him out because the bells quit ringing. Seriously. Now, we in Christ, we are told to call him, ready for this? Papa. That's what Abba means. Daddy. He goes on and he says, the Spirit himself testifies, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we might also share in his glory. What he's simply saying here is this, and I think it perhaps is the very best, if you will, assurance. No matter what goes on in our lives, there's a whisper in our soul from God the Father who says, you belong to me. What a great word that is from Romans. Assurance, lastly, is based upon the work of Christ. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. John 6:40 says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. What does assurance do for me? Well, first of all, assurance in this crazy world gives me hope for the future. By the way, Nicole is going to be signing a contract to be a pediatrician in New Bern this coming week. We're very happy for her. But I think about her and the shape the world is in and the terrorism that occurs and all those things that happen, and I find myself concerned. I think of you and your kids and grandkids and some great-grandkids. I'm very concerned. However, understand this, that the promises of God are true. And one of the things that God said to you and to me that is true, all that he said is true. Here's the truth. In this world, you will have trouble. And then he goes on and says, but I've overcome the world. Godliness can be lived out no matter what the circumstances. You follow me? We can live for God whether we are, Paul said, whether I am suffering as hunger or abundance. Some of the most godly people that I have ever been around were living in abject poverty in the third world. Abject poverty. Well, the second thing it does for me is he gives me forgiveness of my past. Wow. One of the things I want to offer is no matter what you have done in the past, God's grace and God's love and Jesus' death on the cross has paid for it. And when he looks at you and me in Christ as his children, he says, forgiven. Forgiven. Third, that assurance gives me strength for the present. Strength for the present. No matter what we face today, no matter what you face tomorrow, you and God equals a majority. It's going to be okay. God will give you the grace you need when you need it. Somebody asked Charles Haddon Spurgeon if he had dying grace, and he turned and looked amazed and said, I hope not. As far as I know, I'm not dying. He said, but then when I am dying, I'm counting on God's grace. Fourth, gives me freedom today. I'm free. I'm free to live for him. I'm free to love. I'm free to follow him. You know, it's amazing the work of the Spirit of God and how that happens in our hearts. Have you ever found yourself loving someone that you despised earlier? That's the work of God in our hearts. Having that strength that comes from him, having that assurance of the future, having in our hearts that awareness that my sin is forgiven, gives me strength for today. Wow. I thought about us singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine today. We'll not do that. But what a great reminder of God's blessed assurance. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise and honor for your promises to us. And I pray today that our hearts would be filled and overflowing with your love. And by the power of your Spirit, give us love, hope, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. Help us, Father, to embrace what you have said as opposed to sometimes what we believe. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.